This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. Let me welcome in my co-host and partner in crime all the way from Arizona on the M4byYachty.com hotline, the one, the only, fresh off his appearance on the Kevin Wheeler Show about an hour ago, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
What's going on? What's going on, guys? I'm happy to be back on the show. Let's do this.
Man, you're a busy guy. I see tweets flying. I'm doing my Blues Show with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball this morning. And I see tweets flying around that you're on Kevin Wheeler's show. I love Kevin. I could talk baseball with Kevin Wheeler all day long.
Yes, yes. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about, man. I love doing that.
Well, there was something you said on there that got a couple of fans involved in a discussion that we're going to bring up here in just a minute. I've got a couple of things that I want to touch on that are kind of going on in spring training already. And then I want to do a little bit of roster expectations with you and kind of see what we can expect from the guys as is today and just kind of see going into the season how confident we are in some of these players and what we think they can and can't do. So I want to do all that, but before we do, I want to remind everybody to check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website where you can do multiple things. You can subscribe to the show. It's completely free. You'll get a notification each time the new show comes out. You'll be able to listen to this current episode. You can go back and listen to back episodes as well. We've had some great guests on at different times throughout the show from beginning till now. Something you can do to help us at twobirdsonabat.com is do your shopping on Amazon through there. You simply click the Amazon banner. It's on the right on your computers. It's all the way down if you scroll on your mobile device. Doesn't cost you anything extra. We get a very small referral, and it just helps us with production costs. We'd greatly appreciate it. Happy to have everybody be a part of our social media here at Two Birds on a Bat. On Twitter, you can find us at Birds on a Bat Show. We'd ask that you follow us on Twitter. And anytime we're out there, you know, tweeting, getting involved in a conversation, please jump in. Happy to have you a part of that. Our big ask, though, of course, is Facebook. Really, really, really would love to have people follow us on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page, and then click invite your friends. Invite all of your friends to be a part of our Facebook community with Cardinals Baseball. We greatly, greatly appreciate that as well. Instagram as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And, of course, check out lineupmedia.fm, the fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. Happy to be a part of their success and growth. They just launched Yo Radio, so Google that. You'll find that new internet station, Yo Radio, and, of course, they'll be coming out with the baseball-only station there. And, again, we will be happy to be a part of that growth as well. Maybe we'll get Kevin Wheeler on that one. Maybe he should be on there, but... again, just couldn't be prouder to be a part of lineupmedia.fm. Our cohort in crime, Steve Flowers, out again, took his family to New Orleans. That looked like a fun trip. You know he went down there to eat. You know how he is on that, Benji.
That barbecue, man.
Yeah, this guy's something else, isn't he?
Driving crazy.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Well, it's going to be you and me today, kid. And Kevin Wheeler, of course, you've already been on his show. And the reality of it is, I'd love to have Kevin on. I wish I would have known you're going to be on, or maybe we could have got him to follow up and come on here. Because I want to touch on something you said on there, and then also a couple of the things from spring training. So let's get that started. First and foremost, You were on there today, and basically he was asking you a little bit about the catching situation because, you know, people want to know, you know, hey, in the end here, what is going, you know, what are we going to do? You know, Carson Kelly obviously is a top prospect in baseball. It sure appears that he's going to be Yadi's backup this year. So people are doing a lot of back and forth on what Yadi should do. And I think some people took something you said wrong. You tried to explain yourself. In the end, I have said, and at the end of the day, if you have a catcher, a veteran catcher that's really good at what he does, okay, you don't not play him just to play somebody else. That this isn't. And now again, we can discuss the merit of Carson Kelly being at the major league level or AAA in another conversation because that's not what this is about. But at the end of the day, Yadi plays as long as he's healthy. No doubt about it. Yadi plays. Now, does that mean Carson Kelly should never play? No, and I think something you said on Kevin Wheeler's show today made people think that you were advocating for Yadi to go out and play 162 games, which I think we all know, if given the opportunity and health, Yadi will take the ball 162 times. But I think you're also realistic, and something you said, the term everyday player to you may not mean the same thing as it does to the average fan. So, again, and I'm going to read your quote because there's no – I mean, you don't hide behind anything you said. You said Yadi plays every day. He wants to play every day. No way you take a veteran guy out who is still producing. For you, for a young guy, just because he's young, you can't do that. Now, again, and then you said Carson Kelly, he should be quiet, listen, learn, grow, wait for his opportunity to come. But you don't take Yadi out for Kelly, not because Kelly is bad, but because Yadi is still great. Why don't you expand on that a little bit and discuss a couple of the things that maybe some of the fans took wrong in that statement?
Well, first of all, I try to say every day, and a lot of people thought that it was like from Monday to Sunday. I don't know why. I mean, I really believe that, you know, and this is just one guy, of course, but when you talk every day, if you're a baseball guy, you understand that it's the most games out of the week from the other guy, and you're an everyday player. In this case, it'll be like 5 out of 7 days. That'll make you an everyday player. So that's what I meant. And second, I wanna make sure that people understand what I'm saying. When you're asking me about everyday players and Yadi and Kelly, I lived through that. I'm not talking about Yadi because he's my brother. I'm talking about any team out there in the major leagues, any team that has a great catcher and he's a leader and a veteran on your team, but he's still producing, should never do that to a young guy. Should never put the young guy in unless you're willing to lose that veteran to another team like the Cubs, like the Milwaukee, like any other team that can come back and hurt you and he's still producing. Yeah, you can go that route, but if you're smart enough, you're not doing that. I mean, it doesn't have to be Yadi. Please understand. I'm really strict about that. Yadi is one thing. He's doing his thing. I don't have to defend him. I don't have to. His numbers, his clutch hitting, his defensive achievements, everything that he's done for the city of St. Louis and for the Cardinals, he's earned it, every single one of them. So I'm not talking here because he's my brother. He's earned a right to play the last 3 years if he still produces. And that's all I said. That's all I meant. Kelly has to be, and I said has to be a quiet person, you know, kind of like that. It's what I meant when I say be quiet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It doesn't sound, I didn't say be quiet in a mean manner. I just said if I were him, I would be quiet, really quiet in the clubhouse with my ears open, trying to learn from every veteran out there. And that's what I would get and talk to pitchers and wait my chance. Another chance, Jimbo, that Kelly, if a lot of people are want to see Kelly that much, why do you think the agent haven't pushed the Cardinals to say, hey, listen, I got my guy ready. He doesn't have anything to prove in AAA or whatever you want to call it. If you don't put him over Yadi, please trade us. Please let us go somewhere else where he can play and develop himself. I mean, that could have happened too. But he knows that he needs that backup, you know, job, or he needs to go and play in the minor leagues and behind Yadi for those 3 years so he can become a better player. So it could go either way. I really meant that to be an everyday player, like a 5 out of 7. If he stays as a backup, he'll play. And if they develop him, he'll go down and play more games. So that's just how it is.
So, you know, the topic of conversation when it comes to Yachty is this. It isn't – I'll say this. If you get the pulse from the fans, if you're going to use social media, the bottom line is everybody loves Yachty. I mean, and you know it. Everybody loves him. I mean, this guy
– They love him, but why do you think they love him, Jimbo?
Because of what he's done. That's right.
Yes.
Now
– Because of his accomplishment, not for popularity.
Right.
Not for him being a – whatever you want, a troublemaker, everybody
right.
like him or something.
No, right.
It's because he's earned it.
On that point, it's when you hear somebody say Yachty should play four games a week, not six or whatever, a lot of it comes from a place of, and I know you know this, you're no dummy. You played the game at the highest level, so you get it. A lot of it comes from the fans saying, look, he's not getting any younger. It's a brutal position. It beats you up. We want Yachty to be healthy for the whole season and the playoffs. And, you know, it's been ingrained in their mind that if a guy doesn't catch as much, he's going to be fresher. Now, that does make sense. So my question to you would be this, because it's not an easy thing, right? Because as a fan, what you don't realize is it really doesn't matter what any of us think or what anybody thinks. You only have so many years in this game, and you want to play. And I don't even care if it's the best thing for you is to rest. If you're
and
healthy,
do we have a playoff, Jimbo? If we don't win,
well, that's true. Got to win.
Like if you take Yachty instead of 20 games, you take him 40 games out of the lineup. You think it gives you a better chance because you took him 40 games out of the year out of the lineup? Do you think it gives you a better chance to make the playoff this year?
Well, and I think that's the point nobody looks at. And I will say this: I think most people assume that Carson Kelly is going to be just fine. Now, I'll say this as a Cardinal fan. I sure hope he is. But I got to tell you that he's on my maybe list. Can he come in defensively and do a fine job? I'm sure he can. He's got a long way to go with handling pitchers, I would assume, like most guys do when they first come in the league. I'm not real big on the, well, he didn't get much opportunity. I didn't like his at-bats last year at all. I don't care about his average. I could give 10 shits, to be completely honest with you. I got a real problem with
it. I love, if you ask me, I love his arm.
Yes.
He has a can. I love the way he moved behind the plate. I didn't like the way he received the ball. And I didn't like the way he called the game. It doesn't mean that he's not never going to do it. Obviously, he's learning. He's a very young guy. He can't do it. He will do it eventually. He will do it. He'll be better on those two things that I didn't see last year. And he had all year. Plus, we cannot be that harsh on this kid because he just gets an at-bat every week or something like that. And plus, at the end, when Yachty went down with a concussion, he had to step in after not playing for like 2 weeks or something. I mean, you cannot judge anybody like that. I'm not judging anybody that way. What I'm saying is what I saw in those games. He didn't call a good game. He didn't receive the ball very well. But I love the way he moved behind the plate. I love his cannon. The swing didn't look good at all. In BP, he did. I saw a lot of BP, and he did really good. He has good hands, and he's a strong boy. He's a big boy. But in the game, I don't know. He looked overmatched to me. But again, it's really, really unfair for him coming off the bench and not playing that much and all that stuff. So we got to see him, a lot more to judge that, you know?
Absolutely. And again, this, I don't know, this isn't like a knock on Carson Kelly. I mean, I think he's going to be a fine catcher.
Oh, not at all.
Has nothing
we
to do with it. Yeah. And again,
yeah,
I'm with you. I would say any team that has a veteran, really good catcher, just because they have a good young catcher, unless they're planning on making a change, I mean, they're going to play the guy that gives them the best chance to win. Now, again, I think we've already.
Well, let me tell you this real quick, Jimbo. Anybody knows out there who is Butch Rodriguez, right?
Yep.
When he was with Texas, there was a young guy coming up, a catcher. And what did Texas do? They didn't give up on their they didn't give up on Pudge. They said, Pudge, you're my best guy. You're my best guy. The next 2 years is all you, buddy. But the young guy, as a catcher, he just asked for a trade. He said, man, this is my two best years. I got nothing to do in the minor leagues. I need to get out of here and go. Or he would have been quiet and learned from Pudge, and he would have been there in the third year after Pudge left. But it's the same situation. Yadi is not the first one, and Yadi is not be the last one to go through this. I bet you anything, I went through it, and most of the catchers that has been productive, I have gone through this. There's a young guy coming up, and yeah, he's really good, but he haven't done anything in the big leagues, and Yadi have done, or whoever, in this case, whoever is out there, have done more than the young guy. So you have to have the Cardinals willing to do that too, Jimbo. I mean, you have to have the organization to say, okay, Yadi, you go and get your money over there in Chicago Cubs, or go in Anaheim and get 3 years, and I'm going to get Carson Kelly. Why do you think they didn't do that?
Right.
Not only for the fans, man. It's because they have a productive leader every single year, year in, year out. I mean, I always said it. If you have that, don't let it go, because it's hard to find.
Especially at that position. Just look around the league. I mean, just look around the league. It's a tough position. And again, I know that 99% of fans' ire is out of respect and love for Yadi, and the feeling of, you know, there's this sentiment that he'll be better if he catches four games a week, which, again, I'll be honest with you. The whole time I spend going, you don't take the better guy out just to get the younger guy time. You just don't do it. I've never even thought about the fact that you're right. I mean, are you trying to win? Does that guy give you a better chance to win? And listen, I also understand it's touch and go. So let me ask you this, because you have been through it, and you know your brother.
Are you here to develop, or are you here to win the World Series?
Well, yeah, this is not the developmental league. I've said that 1,000 times over. This is not where guys develop. I mean, they develop, they naturally develop, but this isn't how you don't bring a guy along here when you have a proven veteran that's producing. You just don't. So that being said, let me ask you this, because you've been through it, and it's not an easy question. It does sound to me, though, like you do understand that the day off is good for a catcher to some degree. So in your mind, you know, what would you – like how many games, even if he's healthy and producing, how many games would you like to see Yadi play this year that you think would be good for him?
I like the special number he has to be thinking right now in his head is 140. And I'm going to give you the reasons why 140 gives us the best chance to make the playoffs. A lot of these days are day off automatically. They're not day off because the manager give it to you. Usually, your day off is just because of Monday. It's a flying day. You go somewhere. You get those days off, right? You refresh. Another days off that you can count, it's a game is out of hand. 8-1 in the sixth, and you want to give Yadi a blow. Now Yadi, instead of catching 9 innings and being tired for the next day, the next day it's a day game. Now you take him out early. He only plays 6 innings. He's still fresh. Now he's ready for the next day. You know what I'm saying? So you pick and choose the day stuff. So the number that is big for him is 140. That's 140. Now, after that, knowing Yadi and knowing how much he loves to play the game about baseball, he is going to end up with 145, something like that, because of what we just talked, man. People only thinking days off being, okay, you're off and you're not playing, Kelly's playing. No, there's days off of flying. You got to fly somewhere. There's days off that counts like that. There's days, like I just told you, when you take the guy out in the sixth, give him a breather for the next day. That counts like almost like a day off. And let me tell you this, Jimbo. If you ask Ozzie Smith, if you ask all these Hall of Famers, they never wanted a day off. They wanted to play 162 games, because that's what they gave the chance, and that's how they prepared themselves in the offseason to play 162. Was it real? No, it wasn't real, but that's how they prepared their mind to. And also because they gave their team the best chance of winning and going to the playoff when they're on the field. When they're on the field. You tell me you're going to give Yadi a day off after he just had one Monday off of flying. No, because he already had it. And that other day, I'm going to take advantage of him because he's fresh and we play in a good team. Things like that is what managers are doing these days. I mean, they're taking advantage of their day off, doing it, and then they go for it. They go for it. But I bet you anything, my number is 140, 135, 140, and he's going to probably end up 145. That's my guess.
Well, and I think that would be good. So, again, I'm glad you clarified that a little bit. And again, I will say this. There's no doubt, and by Yadi's comments last year, if he could play, you know, what was that number? Like 100 and if you added playoffs and everything in, it's like 179 or whatever it is, or 178. He'd play them all if he could. I know
he
that.
He told me. He said from his own words, he told me straight up to my face, when I need a day off, I will say it. I don't want a day off because it's already premeditated by the manager or whoever is in charge. I don't care. If I'm ready to play a day game after a night game and I'm good, I just took a shower, cold water, my body feels great, why the hell am I in the bench? He told me straight up. What am I doing in the bench if I'm not tired? That's exactly the words he used. If I'm good to go, I want to be on the field because that's the way it is. Now, when I need a day off, then I need a day off because I'm beat up. I got two foul balls to my knees. I got a foul tip to my toes, and then it's hurting big time. Whatever, concussion. I mean, those things. Yeah, I'm going to have a day off. But if I'm good and I feel great, I want to play. And again, please, for the fans out there, I'm talking about Yadi because he's my brother, but this goes to anybody in the league, anybody, any catcher, okay? I'm not discussing this just because of Yadi.
Well, nope, we appreciate it. It's awesome. Let's move on to, a guy that St. Louis fans love and appreciate for all he's done in a St. Louis Cardinal uniform. But it's also drawn a lot of, a lot of fan problems right now because I don't know that it's directed necessarily at him. It's more frustration with what we are going to be dealing with this year, and that is, in my opinion, like a lot of question marks. And that question mark is tough when it's a guy that's done so much for your franchise, and obviously I'm talking about Adam Wainwright. He got the reporters together yesterday, and funny, I saw a couple people put online, what was the purpose of that? And if you don't know what the purpose of that was, then you're not paying attention, okay? This guy's going to get asked every day about next year. And listen, if you've ever played sports, especially at any type of high level, it takes so much mental preparation and toughness to do this. Why would a guy want to answer the same question all the time? So he basically got everybody together and said, hey, look, here's the deal. Basically what he said was, I got enough problems dealing with this year. Let's talk about next year. Okay. So to me, it didn't really mean much because I kind of expected it as much, to be honest with you, at some juncture for him to say, look, how many times do I have to say, I have no plans for next year right now. I'm trying to get through this year. And I think we as Cardinal fans feel the same way. We have no idea what Wainwright's going to have for us. I've learned to never doubt great athletes and their will and desire. I do also understand that the whole father time thing. I do understand health. I know enough about baseball to be dangerous, and I know when a guy goes from throwing 92 miles an hour to 83, something's wrong. Now, was he able to correct that? We're going to find out here real quick, I think, and let's go from there. But for me, I understood why Waino did it. Benji, any thoughts on Waino getting the guys together and saying, hey, look, I'm not going to answer this every time?
Yeah, I mean, you got to get that out of the way. I would have done the same thing. Hey, listen, I mean, I already told you guys, let's wait for this year. And if you want to ask me around the end of the year or around after the season, I'll answer. But don't ask me. Don't keep asking me. I don't know what's going to happen. And just think about this, Jimbo. If he comes out and ball and pitch his guts out and win 16 games for you with the 3.80 ERA. 16 games, 15 games. Would you bring him back? Of course you bring him back. One year or a year and an option or whatever he wants to play. He might not be a four-year deal guy, but you might want to bring him for respect for one more year. 16 wins and things like that. So in that, after that being said, we don't know what's going to happen. He might, if he, the same way he could go 16 wins, he could go south in a hurry, and all of a sudden he loses 16 games. He doesn't have the fastball. He's losing games like crazy. A bad ERA, that answers your question for next year. You know what I'm saying? He's giving you the option. Okay, guys, do not ask me this every single time. Okay, let's wait until the end of the year, and we'll find out. And that's what he's telling these guys. It's like, I mean, if I pitch great, of course I have a chance to come back. But if I pitch poorly and I have a good year, then that question is answered by itself. You don't have to be asking me. I mean, I would have done the same thing.
I tweeted yesterday, and I did it hoping maybe you'd have a little fun with it, because I know that you've said flat out that for 2 years or maybe 3 years, he was the best pitcher you saw in baseball, and that was the freak, Tim Lincecum. I got tired of seeing tweet after tweet after tweet that the Cardinals were sending a delegation to watch his bullpen today. So I basically sent out, am I the only one that could give two shits about Tim Lincecum? And the reason I tweeted that out was not that I didn't have respect for what Tim Lincecum did, because you're right, at one time he was just absolutely filthy. Would I like Tim Lincecum all those years ago? Yeah, that would have been great. But don't we have enough maybes on this team? Am I missing something here? I mean, obviously if you showed up and – I mean, here's my thing. What do you think you're going to see when you go watch a guy throw a bullpen? I mean, what do you expect to see? I mean, what would he do in a bullpen that would make you go, oh, yeah, I'm in?
You're just paying the scouts, man. That's all. That's their job, and just giving them a little job, a little something to do. That's what it is, because he ain't going to show me anything. He's just going to show – you know, the only thing he can show me is that he can still throw hard. That could be one of the things, right?
Sure. Well,
he's a veteran guy. He's not a young guy. He's a veteran guy who his off-speed pitches are going to be there no matter what, because he's young, and I mean, he's a veteran, and his off-speed pitches are going to be there. So can you throw over 90? That's what I think they're looking for. That's what they're sending somebody. Could they find out by just waiting the next day and everybody posting it up? Yeah, they could have done that. But Lincecum, it's for a team that has spots, obviously. I mean, this is not something – I'm not a genius. It's for a team that has spots. When you talk about the Cardinals, I don't think we have spots. You have Mikolas, you have Wainwright, you have Flaherty that's touching the doors, Weaver, you have Waka, you have Martinez, and you have two or three more guys that in the minor leagues that are going to be looked at very, very closely in spring training. With that being said, I don't think they needed to do anything just to wait and see how hard he's been throwing, or I don't know. I don't know what they're looking for on Lincecum these days, you know?
Well, I mean, if it's me, and again, this type of signing to me screams of like a Tampa Bay, an Oakland, a team that could use another starter. Because, you know, they know they're going to be moving pieces throughout the year. And certain teams are notorious for signing guys like this in hopes that it works out.
Last year, Anaheim, right? Or the year before, I'm not sure. Or last year. Wasn't it last year that Anaheim signed him because they didn't have any
It was the Angels,
starter?
Right? It was the Angels, right? Wasn't he with the Angels?
The Angels.
Well,
signed him because they lost their fifth starter. So, I mean, I could see that.
Well, and also there are certain teams that sign these guys in hopes that, you know, 5 months from now, they're like, holy shit, this worked. We're not in the playoffs. Let's trade him. Let's get something for him. That's certain places are notorious
for that. Oh, they're looking for a medal. They're looking for something to hang up in your chest. Oh, I gave him the chance when nobody did, and he worked out, man. Look how good I look. You know, things like that. It could be that.
Well, again, I'm looking at it going, I just, you know, we got enough stuff. I guess what I really should have tweeted was, don't we have enough to worry about without getting another guy that we have no idea what we're going to get from him? I mean, really, you know, so that's kind of where I was coming from on that. So that being said, I want to move on to what I was really interested in doing with you today, and it'll really tie into our partners, innovatedcompanies.com. Don't forget about Randy and Stephanie Green, partners of ours here at Two Birds on a Bat. 35 years experience. Randy's a second-generation craftsman. He's fully licensed, bonded, and insured. And the most important thing you'll find when you meet Randy is his word is gold. If he tells you he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Randy and Stephanie have designed InnovativeCompanies.com's website to house all three of their companies underneath one umbrella so that they can assist you from start to finish. Get with them early in the process. They can help you. They can save you money. They can make sure that you do it right from the beginning. You got your innovative construction arm. You got the innovative heating and cooling arm. And, of course, the innovative electric arm, all under the umbrella, innovativecompanies.com. Give them an opportunity for your business. Okay, so here's what I want to do. I want to start with our innovative construction team because our roster now is constructed. So I want to look at that roster, okay? So I'm going to write down, let's write our lineup down. Let's do that. You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So, obviously, at catcher, we're going to have Yachty. Okay? Right?
Yep.
I think we know that in center field, we're going to have Pham. In left field, we're going to have Ozuna. In right field, we're going to have Fowler. Okay? We're going to have DeJong at shortstop. Now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what Benji Molina, who he's going to play at second, third, and first.
Well, I think they're very high on Wong.
Okay.
Carlton Wong at second.
Okay.
I think they're very high on Yurko at third and Carp at first, which I like Carp at third and Martinez at first.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do. For the sake of this argument, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put at third base Carp, and I'm going to put third base Jerko, first base Martinez. Okay? Sound good? All right. So let's look at these guys. Okay, the way it's constructed right now. I'm going to fast forward to the end of the season, and if you told me that Yachty hit 280 with 15 home runs and played great defense, I would be happy. Would you be happy?
With 80 RBIs.
I think if he hits 280 with 15 home runs, he's going to get there. So that I think that goes without saying. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this question.
I think he can do that, and I think he can do more than that.
Well, that's my question. That's what I want to do today. I want to set a bar. I think, and I'll even say this. I could even live with 270, 275 from Yachty if he hits 15 home runs and drives in 80 because of the clutch hits that he gets. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's set the bar at 270, 15, 80, and I think we know what we're going to get out of him defensively. I think the key for Yachty, as always, and it's not Yachty, it's the position, is obviously, I mean, foul tips, things like that, balls off. It's health. I mean, if Yachty's healthy, I think we can count on it, right? Okay, Tommy Pham. I know he's got the bar set really high for himself. I know what he did last year. I'm not going to doubt the guy. I don't doubt guys that work their ass off, okay? But I'm going to tell you that I could live with 275, 25, 75, and good defense. What do you think?
I think 290, 25, and probably 90.
You think he can get 90 out of hitting in the two spot?
Well, it doesn't matter when you hit in the two spot after the game starts. So
right.
That doesn't even matter.
Okay.
So you can get RBIs at number two spot, like 100 and whatever you can. The game dictates what you get RBIs or not.
Okay.
So remember, if we keep up what we were doing, obviously, if we keep up the way that we were hitting, he should be able to hit 290, I think. What do you think? I mean, well, 25 home runs, he should be able to touch 25.
I'm setting.
He should be able to hit 90 RBIs, 85 to 90, and he's going to get 30 stolen bases.
Oh yeah. So he brings that element. That's a great point. So you're going to go 30 stolen bases. Okay. I'm just setting a bar. Okay, let's set a bar. Ozuna, okay? I would like to see Ozuna hit 285. I'd like to see him hit 30 home runs, drive in 100 runs, play good defense. All right, so I'm just setting bars. We're going to come back to this. Dexter Fowler.
285 and what? 30 home runs?
Yep, 100 RBIs. Now, that's a bar. I'm setting a bar. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to let you say over or under, okay? All right? Dexter Fowler. I got to be honest. The guy basically hits almost the same every year, and he's going to lead off. So I'm going to go back to 265, but his OBP, I want to see it at 360, 370 because it's important for him. I'll take 12 home runs from him. I'm not as worried about his RBIs as I'm worried about I'd like to see him get back to 20 stolen bases. He needs to improve his defense, no doubt about it.
Okay. He'll be better. I know he'll be better.
DeYoung. Okay. This one's interesting.
That's a tough
one. I'm going to set the bar at 260. I'm going to say 22 home runs. I'm going to say 75 RBIs. That's a tough. I'm telling you, I'm just setting a bar here, guys. All right? And
okay.
I hope we get.
And how many home runs he hit last year?
Well, he hit 20 something, but everybody's like, "Oh, he would have hit 30." So I'll come back to it. Colton Wong, love to see Colton Wong hit 285, 10 home runs. I'm not worried about RBIs from Colton. I'm more worried about I'd love to see him get to 10 or more stolen bases, and I just want to see him make the routine plays because we know he can make the great plays. Carp, I want 275. I want that 375 OBP. I want 22 home runs, and I want, if he's going to bat third, he better drive in 90. Jerko?
I'm with you with that one.
Jerko, I mean, again, he's a 250 hitter. I'll take, because he's going to be moved around a lot, you know, again, I'll take 20 home runs, and I'll take 65 to 70 RBIs. Martinez, I mean, the guy can hit, so I'm going to say 280. I'm going to say 15 home runs, and I'm going to say 50 RBIs. Okay, let's start at the top. Do you feel good about getting 270, 15, and 80 out of Yachty?
I'm going higher than that.
Okay,
I'm
so you're going to go higher.
15. Yeah, higher. He's going to do better than that.
Okay. Tommy.
280, 15 home runs. 80 RBIs is the average. I mean, he obviously could go over.
Sure.
With a great year like last year, but I think he's probably going to end up there. And like you said, he's going to be a key in catching. So.
Okay, but you feel good.
Well, actually, if you, I would go as far as 20 home runs.
Well, we'll see. I think
he was really close last year. Well, really close. Swing, so.
Here's what I'm doing here, Benji. I want you to understand what I'm doing. That way, I think I've got you off track here. What I'm doing is, I'm trying to look at the maybe stuff, and trying to figure out what can we really count on. See, I'm with you. I think
the lineups is not a lot of maybes. The lineups are good. The lineups is a lot of doers. You know, a lot of guys who's done it. You know, and can help us out. You know, so. The older stuff, it's what you probably refer to as maybe. So it's bullpen
and
starting.
Well, and I'm looking, like when I look in here, I think we were pretty realistic with most of the guys. I think the question mark, and let's face it, the big question mark in this lineup is DeYoung. DeJong, whatever, however you want to pronounce it. I still don't know for sure what he wants to be called. I'm sure I can ask somebody. But our shortstop, that's the big one. And again, you know, he's a second-year player.
He will be better.
So I think that's the big one. And again, we need Carp to hit a little bit better, although his OBP is great. Hard to complain. The whole batting third thing, whatever. I mean, I can talk about this all day long. Okay, so I think we feel good about those numbers. Would you agree offensively?
Oh, I mean, I don't have any trouble with anything that we set right now in the offense. I have no trouble in the offensive side right now in that lineup and those guys that are playing. I have no trouble. Harrison Bader is going to be the fourth outfielder maybe. Martinez is going to be used there too. And then that first baseman, that big one, I always keep forgetting his name. He's a native from St. Louis.
Oh,
too.
Luke Voit. Voit. Yeah. I don't think he makes the roster. That's just me.
Who do you have? Greg Garcia, Martinez, and who else? Who do you have there?
Oh, I think Bader makes the roster. I think Garcia makes the roster. Yeah. I think they might even keep another. I think they're going to want a left-handed bat somewhere. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure.
If this kid come in and crush the ball in spring training, I don't see why he shouldn't be on the roster.
Again, I'm just going by some underspeak. I don't think they view him as a candidate for the roster, but I could be wrong. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's look at the pitching then, because I think that's where we're going to get our most things. So, Carlos Martinez. Okay, Carlos Martinez. I mean, what can we do with Carlos Martinez? I'm not as big on wins. I understand that wins aren't always on the pitcher, but you got to look at it, right? So, could Carlos Martinez win 20 games? He absolutely has the stuff to win 20 games. All right, I'm much more concerned with his ERA. There's nothing wrong with a 3.6 ERA. Would I like him to be closer to 3? Of course. I think he has
the
ability.
He was better than 3.60, though. He pitched way better than 3.60. He just had a couple games that got him over to that 3.60, but he pitched all year like a 2.50 ERA guy.
Yeah, see, that's my point.
So he did good. I don't worry about Carlos.
I think the important things for Carlos, can he get it? Can he have his overall ERA be around 3? I like the 200 innings. I like that. I like the over 200 strikeouts. I think we all know that that's his game, right? No doubt. A 1.2 whip. Some walks got him in trouble last year at times. I'd like to see the walks come down a little bit. I'd like to see him closer to that 1-1, under 1-1. But in the end, I feel pretty good about Carlos Martinez. I think we'd all agree.
Oh no, I don't worry about Carlos. I know he's gonna be there. I know his numbers and all that. They're gonna be there. So he doesn't worry me.
Okay, so then let's move on to the de facto number two starter in my opinion. Okay, in my opinion. And that's Michael Wacha. Last year, Wacha pitched 165 innings. He started 30 games though. I mean, his innings were down because he had some games where he just didn't make it very long. It's been well documented that the issue with Wacha is his third time through the order. It's a struggle, no doubt about it. And the bottom line is this.
But I think he's going to be better than what he was last year. I think he'll pick it up. You know, I think he'll find another pitch that is going to help him out. Is he going to win 15 games? I really do think so. I really do. This is the year that Wacha wins 15 games, and he keeps the ERA in the threes, you know.
Okay, that was going to be my question. If I look at Michael Wacha, the two things to me, I think if we can get the ERA from the fours into the threes, okay, and I think if we can bring the whip down a point one or two, I mean, he's almost at a 1.4. I'd like to see the whip come down, you know, not as many walks. I think those would be improvements for me. And again, Waka's issue, people are always going to wonder if he's healthy. Right? I mean, when you kind of couple years in a row, you're dealing with this, you're dealing with that. The question for Michael Wacha is, he made 30 starts last year. Is this a guy that went into the offseason going, heck yeah, man, I made 30 starts. I'm going to have a normal offseason, and next year I'm going to come back and be a dude. So I would say that that's the positive for Cardinal fans, is that hopefully that's the mentality. Again, I think if we get his ERA into the threes, eliminate a few of the walks, I think Michael Wacha is better.
Oh, he's going to be better. I feel it. I mean, those last couple of games he pitched, I mean, they were unbelievable, even though in the end, last couple of innings, last inning or so. He gave up a few runs, but man, he was lights out, and he figured something out the last couple starts. You know, for innings, he was untouchable. I mean, for some innings, man. I mean, the way he was pitching. So I think he's going to be great this year. I think he's going to – and then he's a year older, remember that. So he's a veteran. Sure. So he's going to be really – I really believe that he's going to be 15 wins or more, and 350 or 380 or 390 ERA, kind of like that.
Well, you know, but once you get by those two guys – you kind of look at the next three and you go, okay, what do I have? I mean, and the next three guys are pretty simple. Waino, Weaver, Mikolas, or whatever, however you pronounce his name too. So my question is this. I mean, what do you realistically put down and hope to get from these guys? This is where my issue comes from. I can't even begin to put a number down. Now,
who are you talking about this time right now?
Let's start with Wainwright. Let's start with Waino. The bottom line is this. We all know what happened to Waino last year, right? Only 123 innings. He had a 5.11 ERA. Okay? He had a
Still find a way to win 12 games, okay? Just in case.
He had a 1.5 whip, okay? Less than 100 strikeouts. So here's what I'm going to tell you. And this is the beautiful part of this, right? If his numbers aren't better than that, he's not going to pitch. I mean, I'm sorry. If his ERA is not better than 5, okay, and if his whip's not better than 1.5, he's not going to pitch. So he either has to be better or he can't pitch. That's the thing with Waino.
He's probably going to have a short leash, and he's probably going to be a few starts, and if he doesn't do well, he probably end up in the bullpen or something.
And that was my thing. That's the only saving grace here with him, is that he either comes out, let's face it, he either comes out and he's better than 5.11 ERA and 1.5 WHIP. Okay? He's either better than that or he's not in the rotation. There's no way this guy can be in the rotation with an ERA over 5 and be walking guys like that. There's no way. And giving up those hits.
But he always find a way to win a lot of games. I don't know how. That's weird. But he always find a way to win games, man. Even if it's high-scoring games or whatever you want to call it. But he still finds ways. I mean, he still does. I mean, 12 wins with 5-something ERA, that's a lot of wins, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
And remember, our bullpen blew a lot of wins for a lot of pitchers last year. So we could end up easily with 15.
Well, and let me say this too. I misspoke a few minutes ago. I want to say something here because I'm not expanding. When I say whip, I'm not just talking about walks. I'm talking about hits and walks. Number of runners on base. Obviously, everybody knows what whip is. So, like, for instance, when I said that about Waka, I'm not quite sure. I mean, Waka had some walks. Waka gave up a lot of hits. Okay, obviously he needs to find less bats. You know, Wainwright, you know, he gave up some walks considering his innings pitched, but he also, you know, got knocked around. A lot of bats, a lot of balls on bat. So it's more than just walks. I just want to preface that. I'm talking about we just need to find less guys. And I think if the whip can come down with the base runners, I think we have a better chance. So that being said, again, all right.
How many wins do you think he does next year?
Again, that's my point. I have no idea. I can promise you this. If he's a 5'11".
That was a tough one.
If he's a 5'11", you got to remember, he was a 5'11", and what was he the last however many starts? I mean, so, yeah, he got 12 wins, but, man, he got a couple of wins when he absolutely got blasted and the team just scored a bunch of runs. I mean,
yeah,
again.
That's what I'm saying. He always finds a way.
Well, I don't know if he finds a way or the team finds a way, but I understand what you're saying.
Not him, but in his record, yeah. He always finds a way of having that win. I don't know.
Well, the bottom line is this. He can't be in a rotation with an ERA over 5 and giving up that many base runners. He just can't. So that'll take care of itself. The two hard ones, and people might think one of them's easy, is Luke Weaver. Why do you think it's easy? Well, it's easy because you liked what you saw, right? I mean, you saw a guy that threw 60 innings and struck out 72 hitters. So right away, you're like, holy cow. Now, he had a 3.80 ERA, which is not bad, but I think he got knocked around one game for sure. And then
mind. He did just like Martinez did, Jimbo. If you remember the last couple of games, he was probably tired. He was getting down there to the innings. He was, I mean, he was pitching a lot. Mike left him longer than he should have, and he ended up giving up a lot of runs. But that was just like probably his last three starts that got that ERA up to 380 because he was pitching.
Yeah.
He was pitching unbelievable with that ERA really low, but the last three outings, if he was managed better, I think he would end up with a 290 or something like that. But he was left out there, and he was giving it up and giving it up, and he was probably already tired, you know, at the end of the year, last three starts. And, you know, but I like what I'm going to guess he's going to get 15 wins or over this year.
Well, that'd be awful good for a guy with his youth. That'd be something. But again, the bottom line is there are things you see that you like. You like, I mean, 60 inning pitch and 72 strikeouts is awfully good. His whip at 1.26 is, you know, is pretty good. Obviously, you always want it closer to one. But, you know, 1.26, the ERA, like you said, at 3.88. The bottom line is this. He's a second-year pitcher. Again, you can guesstimate all you want, but you don't know. And you couldn't fault the guy if he come out and struggled a little bit because, let's face it, he's got some growing to do. That being said, again, I don't know. I have no idea. Just like I don't have 1 ounce of idea of what Mikolas is going to do. I have no idea. I mean, how can you put that on paper, what you think? Now, I can sit here and guess, but I don't have even anything to look at like I do with Weaver. I'm telling you, when I look at Weaver and see 60 innings pitch and 72 strikeouts, that's pretty strong. I mean, that's Carlos Martinez-esque. Carlos Martinez, 205 innings, 217 strikeouts. Okay? All right? I'm telling you, that gives me hope for Lance Weaver. Or, I'm sorry, Luke Weaver. I like when balls don't find bats. Okay? On the flip side, you can look at a couple of guys, and their balls found a lot of bats. Now, how do you even guess what Mikolas is going to do? How do you even guess?
No. The only way you can guess is after watching a few games in spring training, and then at the end of spring training, you can guess more or less what he's going to do. But right now, out of Japan and out of no baseball since 2014 in the major leagues here in the United States, it's really hard, man. It's really hard to guess what he's going to do. What we hope that he does is 15 more wins, 15 or more. We hope his ERA stay low in the threes, you know, like 290 to 3. We hope he throws 200 innings, which I don't know. I mean, things like that. I mean, that's what we hope for. But it's really hard to pick and choose what this guy is going to do.
Let's get into what we do know, and that's this. I don't know about you, but I like – like I said, there's a couple things I like about the bullpen. There's a couple things I don't like. I'm not quite sure how you don't like what you saw out of Tyler Lyons last year. It'd be really hard to say, nah, I don't like it. I don't know how you didn't like it.
He was your savior last year. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
He was our savior.
So that's my point. I don't know how you didn't like what you saw out of Lyons. I am a fan of Tui. Okay? I like the fact that... The only thing I'm going to say about Tui, which is a little surprising to me, the stat that's a little surprising, and it's not like majorly massive, the strikeouts really surprises me. The fact that he threw 42 in a third inning and only struck out 34 hitters, that surprises me a little bit for a guy that's kind of been groomed to be a closer. Would you not agree that you would think he'd have more strikeouts than that for innings pitched?
You know what, Jimbo? I'm an old school guy, and if you can get 3 outs, I don't give a crap if you strike him out or not. So I'm going to be honest with you. I can care less about his strikeouts as long as this kiddo get 3 outs. You know, hear me?
Yeah.
I know fans out there, they get involved until strikeout. They're exciting, and if you can strike out more people than innings, I mean, that's great. I mean, I'll take it. It's no big deal. I love it. What I'm trying to tell you is I don't give a crap. This kiddo threw 255 ERA last year, okay? And in a bullpen that wasn't even settled, in a bullpen that gave up a lot of runs, late in the innings, and he ended up with a 2.55 ERA in 37 games. Come on, man. 2.55, I could care less if he strike out one guy and end up with a 2.55 ERA this year instead of 37 games, 57 games, 60 games out there, 2.55. He can strike out one batter if I what I care.
You know, and I look at it, and, you know, you look at some stuff that kind of went down, and you can kind of see, you know, why maybe, just maybe, you know, things will be better. I mean, there were guys that pitched out of the bullpen last year that are not here that just they just didn't have it. You know what I mean? You know, Sokolovich just wasn't very good, whether you, no matter what you want to say. Broxton wasn't any good, no matter what you say. You know,
I mean, Rosenthal didn't his best year.
You know, Segrist wasn't very good, no matter what. You know, you can make all the so the fact that we're rolling through some different guys here is fine. Now, that being said,
they have good arms this year. You should be, we all should be very excited about the Cardinal bullpen. Not because of the names, obviously, but the good arms that we have. And obviously the two signings that they did that we were questioning earlier, you know, like Gregerson and Morris,
yep.
Or Norris. I mean, obviously it's going to raise questions. It's going to raise questions. There's no doubt about it because they, you know, they're older and they don't fit in this bullpen, but the other arms that we have, and then we're going to have Reyes in May coming out of the bullpen, I assume. Come on, man. If you don't get excited for this bullpen other than Norris and Gregerson, which we want them to do well, believe us, guys. We want them to do really good, and if we don't get excited for these, I don't know what, man. We got good arms in the pen.
Yeah, you know, and again, I will say this. The more I read, again, you never know for sure what's true and not true. But, man, you know, you hear things and see things, reports. And while I believe me, I mean, the guys that are supposedly in the know in the media that share things, and they're so wrong sometimes that you sit there and go, I never know what to believe. But I will say this.
Let the player tell you what you can believe or what you cannot believe. Just let that player do it. I mean, don't let the media do it. You know what I mean?
Well,
that would be my advice.
Well, where I was going with it is I'm looking at, like, for instance, like, I think a lot of Cardinal fans, me included, and that's where I'm going. We're sitting here going, holy shit, spring training starting, Jake Arrieta's sitting out there. Man, we may get this guy for 3 years at a bargain. Well, let me tell you something, what we found, okay? All you got to do is look at what's really going on, okay? Jake Arrieta is not, he's just not going to do it. This guy is going to wait, and there is no bargain. Now, will that change? It might. I mean, there's a game of chicken going on right now with a few guys in clubs, J.D. Martinez, Jake Arrieta, Greg Holland. But, and again, if you think the Cardinals' involvement in these players are lack of involvement, if you think that that's not all you need to know, just look at Milwaukee. Now, listen, everybody was freaking out over Milwaukee, right? Remember that? Oh, they're going to go get a top starter and we're screwed, right? Remember that? Well, they went and got Wade Miley. Why do you think that is? They're finding the same thing the Cardinals are finding, that if you want to trade for Archer or whatever, they want everything. And if you go to Arrieta and say, hey, you're still out there, how about taking this 3-year deal? He's going, I'll be good. I'm fine. Hey, Greg Holland, rumor is you're willing to accept 2 years, $25 million. I'm sure Greg Holland, I'm sure all they heard was a click and a dial tone. It's blatantly obvious that that's what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that won't change. I'm also not saying that it's probably not obvious the Cardinals aren't keeping in touch with these players. But again, they've kind of backed up their bets. Like, that's what I think Bud Norris was.
If you're a player, Jimbo, and you're a pitcher, and you know you're running out of time in your head, you have a, let's say Holland, for example, you have a 2-year deal with a $52 million that he turned down.
3 years,
and
yeah.
And all of a sudden, Or 3 years, 52, right? Something like
that's
that.
That's what he said. That's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah. And then you turn it down, and all of a sudden, here it comes, the last week of the spring training. Wouldn't you accept that 3-year deal now?
Oh, well, that's Bert. That would be.
That would be like, holy crap. I heck yeah, give it to me. I'll take it now, because you were expecting something else, but it's not there anymore. You know what I'm saying? That's why these kiddos need to be smarter when they talk about the years and they talk about the things and the free agency. Oh, yeah, 7-year deal. I'm looking for a 7-year deal. But how about if it's not there? Are you prepared to come back for a 3-year deal? Really good pay and prove yourself and then do it again in 3 years? Are you prepared for that? That's what I'm trying to say with this kiddo these days, you know?
Yeah, and again, you know, listen, nobody has wanted them to sign a legitimate closer more than you. And that's the truth. So if you're looking at the bullpen now and going, you know what, I think we might have something here, and I think we're going to be better, well, that gives me reason to be optimistic, that's for sure. There's no doubt, I'm sure, when your brother comes out.
Oh, they still need a closer. It's not a doubt. I'm not saying that. I'm not backing up from that. They need a closer. They do need it badly. But if they don't get it, if they ended up not getting it, and all of a sudden they go to the season without a name closer, I'm still good with what we have. I mean, we might have a surprise kid show up, you know, and do a job. That's what we might have.
Well, I don't know that it's going to happen. So if it doesn't happen, your brother kind of comes out in an article and gives a nice compliment to Tui. Does that, I mean, knowing your brother and knowing how he is, does that mean something to you if he says he thinks Tui can be a closer?
Oh, yeah, if he says that, I mean, obviously, I don't know if he's going to say it because he doesn't know it either, who's going to be the closer. But if he comes out and says that Tui is the guy and he knows him better than us, we just know a little bit of a number and what we see out there. But Yadi feels him every day, you know, like he knows what he has as a daily basis guy. So if he comes from Yadi, man, you got to take it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Well, this was good, man. I enjoyed this today. I, you know, it's funny when you write something down, and I purposely didn't write this down until we just did the show. I'm looking at this going, man, if they achieved these offensive numbers that I wrote down, they would be awfully good offensively. So it tells me that some of these guys are going to fall short on this.
Seriously, Jimbo, we have a lot of talks about the offense. It really doesn't bug me, the offense. I mean, hopefully I don't jinx them or anything, because it really doesn't bug me. What really kind of, you know, like, it's in my head is the bullpen. You know, how many games are we going to blow, and coming off from last year. But there's a different arms out there. So maybe, and hopefully this year, we don't blow as many games, and we can save those games for wins, you know, and they don't make a difference going into a playoff or not, you know?
Well, you know, you kind of always wonder what's going to be what from year to year. And you look at last year, and there's no doubt that last year we had a nice run with our starters, you know, and then some things kind of fell off a little bit. And then we got Weaver up here, and he was a nice boost. And, you know, Mike Leake started the season unbelievable and then kind of came back to reality before he was moved. So, you know, you had some things going on last year. You know, you had the bullpen, though. Listen, if you look at last year, the number one problem was the bullpen. Number one problem. So if we are to believe that they've made improvements, if we're to believe that, the question is this. There was a pretty good stretch last year where your starting pitching was a positive. I'm looking at this now and I'm going, you know, I sure hope it's a positive. Because let's face it, Mike Leake's first however many starts it were last year were very surprising.
Same with Lynn.
Yeah.
Just remember that we lost a horse out there. Lynn's a horse, man.
You know,
Lynn's a horse. And we lost that out there. And people are, they need to remember that. You're putting Weaver, but we had Weaver with Lynn and Leake last year doing well.
Yeah,
so we had a good run of starters, but now we lost those two guys. And now you get a guy from Japan, Mikolas, that is, we all hope that he's the best pitcher in the league this year. And And then you got Flaherty touching, and then you got Wainwright. That, you know, so Waka and Martinez, and you know, we lost two guys, man. We lost two guys that were gonna go out there, even though Leek wasn't as good as late, you know, when he got traded. But Lynn, man, Lynn's a horse, and where are we gonna find a guy like that? You know.
Looks like if you look at Lynn's numbers last year, if you go by month, he had a very nice April. I would say he had a good May. He had an awful June. He had a great July, a good August, and a not very good September. Obviously highlighted by, you know, the 2/3 of an inning with 8 earned runs, which will ruin any month. But he
was one of the affected pitchers. You know, you always have one pitcher
right. That
is affected, not scoring runs, and he was our guy last year. He was the guy that we couldn't score runs for him, and he would lose 2-1, 3-1, and things like that. So they still ended up with 3.43 ERA, which is really great.
Yeah, I'll
any pitch all year.
Let's see here. Last guy I'm going to look at, because I want to see the effect, was Mike Leake's game-by-game stats from last year. All right, let's see. Yeah, I mean, if you remember in April last year, Mike Leake's ERA was 1.35.
Yeah, everybody was really, really excited. And
I mean,
like I always said it, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean,
it's a really, really long season, and you can start in April like hitting 400, but you're going to end up hitting 210 in September. You didn't do anything.
You know, 1.35 in April, 3.09 in May, 4.30 in June, 4.76 in July, and in August, 8.8. So, you know, and obviously he went to Seattle and was better. So, you know, obviously, you know, whatever you want to call it. Not even going to.
Jimbo, if you're a pitcher and you know you're going to go out there for 6 months and you have a three months that are really, really good, then you have 1 month or 2 months that are average, and then one bad one, I'll take that. Instead of having 2 months that are great and then the rest of the four being mediocre or less. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like in the middle of the pack and or worse, I cannot take that. That's 4 months of just not doing much. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'll take the two average months and then one bad one, because I mean it could happen. You know, it happens all the time.
I was gonna say. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, there's a lot of guys that go through what I would call quote unquote rough patches. Would probably be a good way to put that. I'm sure that you know that it happens. You know,
yeah, like three or four starts that you can get anybody out until you get it back together, get your confidence back up. I mean, that's what it is. So,
right.
I mean, I'll take 4 good months and then 2 meaty, you know, like middle of the pack months. But taking 2 months or more of bad, it's not acceptable in the major leagues. I wouldn't accept it. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, it'd be interesting to see what you would make of, you know, a guy like Leake, who, you know, it just steadily got worse and worse and worse. I mean, to be completely honest with you. And then obviously he was traded to, you know, he was traded to Seattle, and it was better for him there. I mean, time will tell with Mike Leake. And, you know,
well, he was traded for many other reasons, though.
Well, yeah.
He wasn't because he was pitching bad or not, or it had to be something else involved in there, you know?
Well, I'm sure they looked at their investment and thought, I think they looked at it and thought, we invested an awful lot of money in this guy, and we got a lot of young pitchers coming up. So, anyway.
Yeah.
We'll see.
They saved the money to sign Mikolas, Gregerson, and Norris. You know?
Well,
that's what they did. They
we, shall see, we shall see. We shall see. We shall see. We shall see. But hey, listen, I enjoyed this today. Like I said, I like looking at the team and trying to figure out where we're at from a, I mean, for lack of a better description, I guess, I like figuring out where we're at in that maybe category. Because for me, again, that maybe category, when there's too many maybes, that's a little tough. Now, I will say this.
We're in danger.
I feel like there's not as many maybes on offense as maybe before I wrote them down. Now, that being said, again, the numbers I wrote down today, maybe some of our listeners are going, Jim, are you nuts? But they're probably on both sides. That's too high. That's too low. But I would be curious. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put one of these a day out on Twitter on a poll, and I'm going to put the stat line that you and I set, and I'm going to put over, under, or right in the ballpark, and I'm going to see what fans think, and go from there, because I think it'd be fun. Yep. I think it'd be fun.
I think it'll be a lot of fun. You know, they'll love that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. I want to take a look at it, and I think, to be completely honest with you, I think it'd be interesting to see what people would think about some of these numbers. I wonder if they think we're nuts. To be honest, should be good.
No, they're expecting a lot from these guys. You wait and see. They're expecting to these guys so they can do their job and do as close as we the numbers that we got.
Well, I'm excited. Very excited. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to start today with a guy, and I'm going to say, if you got this, you know, if we got this out of this player, would you be happy? You know, yes, no, or do you? Or no, let's do this. Let's say, do you expect this stat line out of this player? And you know, this is the stat line we came up with. Option one: higher, lower, or right in the ballpark. And let's just see what people think. I'd be curious. I'd be real curious because I think these are pretty good numbers. I think we're close here.
People would love it. They would love it.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. Okay, I'm going to do that. Sound good, my friend?
Sounds good, man.
All right, enjoyed having you on today. I want to remind everybody before you go to make sure you check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. You know, you can subscribe to the show through there. It's completely free. You have the opportunity to do your shopping through Amazon there, which helps us with our production costs. We'd greatly appreciate it. Subscribing to the show, though, is the main thing that you can do there and get a notification each time we turn it out. You might be listening to the show through the website, and if you are, that's fine too. Find us on social media. At Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us on Twitter. We'd like you to follow us on Twitter. The big ask, though, is go to Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, find our Facebook page. You'll see the great picture of Yachty and his brother Benji in 2011 on the field after the World Championship. That's us. Like our Facebook page and then click invite your friends. Go through your friends list. Invite all your friends that are Cardinal fans to be a part of our Facebook group. We'd happily accept them and want them all to be a part of our Cardinal discussion. Find us on Instagram. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat Show. Check out everything at lineupmedia.fm. You've got some great podcasts over there. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. They've now come out with Yo Radio. You'll enjoy it, an internet radio station with all different types of channels, all different types of enjoyment options for you. Check it out, Yo Radio. Our producers, Brian Croc, Andrew Allen, they do all the work behind the scenes. Couldn't do it without them. It'll be nice to get Steve-O back one of these days. That weather's getting ready to warm up, so hopefully we'll have Fish back in studio once or twice just to see how he's doing. And, of course, all the fans out there and everything that you do and spreading of the show, making sure people see it that haven't been a part of it. We welcome in everybody to be a part of this. Mo's algorithm will be back next week. He had some stuff going on today that he couldn't. I know some of you are probably upset that you didn't get a Mo's algorithm. I would love to hear his take on these. So maybe we'll discuss our over and under on these with him next week. Special thanks to the people that have helped our show grow leaps and bounds over the last year or so. It starts with our friend Nate McHenry with the RallyScroll.com Facebook page. 100,000 strong there, all Cardinal fans that love to engage in Cardinal conversation. He now has the Rally Squirrel Club, which we're happy to be a part of. To learn more about that, check out rallysquirrel.com. For less than the price of a cup of coffee, you too can get the Rally Squirrel Report each week, along with the opportunity to win those great prizes. Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7 could not do this without you. And I mean, gosh, the guy just does everything for us, pushes the show, gets involved in conversations, makes sure people know about us. Thank you. We could not do this without your support. Same way for Mick Light and Art City Sports. He's such a fan. Does such a good job spreading sports throughout this area. amateur, pro, college, doesn't matter. He's on it. Make sure you're a member of that Facebook group, large Facebook group, Arch City Sports. Cardinal Freak, been with us for a long time. St. Louis Cardinals fans unite. Everything STL Sports. Happy to have all of you on board. Again, my thanks go out to the guy that joins us each and every week and takes time out of his schedule, Benji Moline on the M4byYachty.com hotline. I leave you as we enter spring training with a Let's Go Birds.
Go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.